Just a moment, please. Oh, here we go. Representative Malone, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
And we're doing roll call, so we'll have the secretary recall. Just Malone. Just Representative Malone. Here.
Representative Malone.
Here.
Representative Marler.
Here.
Representative Mitchell.
Present.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Here.
Representative Thane.
Here.
Representative Trebus.
Here.
Chair Beard.
Here. And Madam Secretary, would you please go ahead and call Representative Kazmaier again, please?
Representative Kazmaier.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Yes.
Now, we have just a couple of announcements before we get started. We are having two bill hearings this morning. House Bill 111, Revised Income Tax Law to Exempt Military Pensions, Representative Fuller. And then House Bill 125, Provide Exemption from Income Tax Withholding by Representative Trebus. At 10:30, give or take, we will have a Zoom presentation from the Budget Director's Office. Director Almay will be introducing himself along with one of his fiscal note staffers, so that will be important. So with that, I just want to remind everyone to silence your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step outside. We all know what happens if your cell phone goes off during committee. If you wish to give testimony, you have two options in this virtual age. Either in person, sign up in the hallway at the sign-in desk, whether you're opponent or proponent. Then also to log on to the state legislative website and sign up for virtual participation 24 hours in advance. You can also submit written testimony through that website. When you do come in to testify, we'll have some additional information for you. And just know that anything that that you provide with us during the hearing is will become part of public record. Let's see. So we will begin this morning, unless anyone has anything further. Seeing nothing, we'll go ahead and hear Bill number 111, sponsored by Representative Fuller. Representative Fuller, go ahead and make your introduction, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. It's good to see some old friends here on this committee since I was forced to go to the dark side over on appropriations. I could no longer sit with you. For the record, I'm Representative John Fuller from House District 8, Kalispell, and I'm here to present House Bill 111, or 111. And I would just like to do a little sidebar to think that it's kind of appropriate that I do so on today, because today, January 12, 1947, a native son of Montana was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. Donald Jack Rule from Columbus, Montana, gave his life on the ridges of Mount Suribachi in Iwo Jima in February of 1945. And so in his honor, I speak to you today. While I was in military service myself, although I'm not a retired individual, I was just a veteran, I was taught when briefing my superiors to be quick, be clear, and be gone. So I trust that I can do that today. The bill, House Bill 111, is a bill to partially exempt all U.S. military pensions from the Montana state income tax. And full disclosure, I do not receive any military benefits of any kind, not even disability, although I probably should. So I am not proposing this because I'm benefiting, and I think it's the right thing to do. There are currently 29 states that do not tax U.S. military pensions, of which 9 are the states that do not have a state income tax. But additionally, there are 13 with special provisions for military pensions. Thus, there are only 7 other states that fully tax the income of retired military personnel under the age of 65. In January of 1968, 53 years ago, this very day, I arrived in Vietnam as a young Army sergeant. When I returned home 2 years later to an ungrateful nation, I suppressed my resentment at how my comrades, both living and dead, had been treated and remembered. Gradually, attitudes changed and so did the nation. But our current war, which has become our longest war, is being fought not by draftees, but by volunteer professionals. Many of them have been in combat environments far longer than any of our previous veterans. It has been almost 20 years since the worst attack on American soil took place, and some of those brave people who's answered the call are getting ready, approaching retirement. I am pledged to do whatever I can to generate an environment different from the 1960s. These brave people are retired military service personnel, many of whom earned their retirement in some of the most inhospitable and dangerous places on the planet, dreamed of Montana, but they did not work here and they did not earn their income here. They faced unspeakable horrors in God's forsaken places, so we could continue to enjoy the grandeur of Big Sky Country in peace and tranquility. Now that they are retired and living in Montana, it is only fitting and proper that their retirement income earned at a far higher price than many of us could possibly imagine not be reduced because Montana does not care enough to recognize their extraordinary sacrifice. In my humble opinion, the least we could do is recognize and reward their efforts on our behalf by exempting half of their retirement income from being looted by our income tax here in Montana. Madam Chair, at this point, I would like to step aside so proponents and opponents can testify, and I reserve the right to close. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fuller. I knew that this committee was missing some kind of an audio enhancement this go-around, and voila. Nice to see you again, Representative. All right, at this time, we're going to go ahead and take testimony from the proponents, and I believe we have one proponent here in person, so we'll usher that proponent in. Thank you, sir. And would you please introduce yourself, give your address, and the organization to which you are representing?
Madam Chairwoman Beard, most definitely. My name is Tom Johnson, Norwegian spelling, J-O-H-N-S-O-N. And I am here representing the Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW, for the state of Montana. I am the legislative rep for Montana, both statewide and on the national level. So if I may continue, I'm very honored to be in such esteemed company. And first off, I'd like to thank you guys for your service, because what you do as legislators is basically the tip of the spear for the Montanans here. So thank you very much. Real quick, I'm going to keep this short. I represent over 8,000 members of the VFW and the auxiliary of the VFW in Montana, which also comprises 6,864 actual VFW members themselves. As a whole, they totally back this bill 110%. And I'll just give you a very brief synopsis. I spent 41 years, 7 months of duty, four of it in the Navy active duty, 37 years, 7 months in the Army National Guard with deployments. And this bill is near and dear to my heart as a first sergeant for 8 years and as a acting sergeant major of a battalion. I've seen troops throughout the years retire, and particularly with enlisted men, they don't have the highest retirement pay in the world. So they'll put in 20, 25, 30, 40 years, now I sound like an auctioneer, of service, and by golly, they retire, and they find out real quick what they receive on the retirement side is nothing like they were making while they were on duty. So on that note, you particularly have a lot of people that retire within the state and they end up moving out of state, which is too bad because a lot of them are native Montanans, but they have to go where the work is and they go look for work. And they bring a lot of expertise to the table for a lot of fields. And it's a shame to lose those people because they're the upper tier of our workforce in the state as far as experience, work ethic, and the service they have provided to this state of Montana and great nation. So I'm just going to kind of conclude with this because there'll be, I believe Roger Hagen will be much more eloquent than I on this and a lot more data, but I think it's the right thing to do to support this bill, and our Montana Constitution supports it. I believe it's Article 2, Section 35, giving veterans consideration. We're not an entitlement segment of society. We deserve a little consideration. On that note, do I have any questions?
Mr. Johnson, we will ask that you stick around in case we have questions when the committee members ponder their questions. And in the meantime, I'd like to thank you for not only coming in and being a proponent on this bill, but also for your wonderful service to our country and for taking the time out of your schedule today to be here. So thank you, and I hope you're able to stick around.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll be out in the hall.
Thank you. And we'll confirm with our sergeant-at-arms staff to see if we have any more proponents in the hallway. Seeing none, I'd like to check with Ms. Murphy to see how many hands we have raised in the queue for virtual.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Right now, we only have one hand raised. And just a reminder to raise your hand if you'd like to speak. Oh, okay. So now we have two hands raised. Now we have three. Back to two. Anyway, the first is Roger Hagen.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Murphy. And please know that you need to have your hands raised when we start calling for proponents or opponents when it's your turn. And that way we can gauge to make sure we have enough time to hear everyone. We don't want to miss anyone if at all possible. Mr. Hagen, you're on, and we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Roger Hagen, last name spelled H-A-G-A-N, and I represent the Montana Department of the American Legion, as well as the Enlisted Association of the National Guard of Montana and the Montana National Guard Association, which is the officers' side of our organization. We rise in support of House Bill 111 today, and thank Representative Fuller for his steadfast support of this offer. This is a really an important issue, not necessarily so much to thank veterans for their service, but most importantly, as an economic development of allowing our veterans who have served or encouraging those outside of Montana to come to our state where they're establishing their second career. Because these veterans typically retire at the age of 39 to 41 years old, and when they get out of military service, what they do is establish new careers or establish new businesses. And therefore, these folks are valued people who can come to our state and make our state better economically as well as family-wise, and we think that's very important. Now, one of the things that I've had people tell me is, oh, well, we don't need to entice them with tax exemptions because we don't have a sales tax. Well, there are five states currently that do not have a sales tax: Alaska, Montana, Oregon, Delaware, and New Hampshire. Of those five states, Montana is the only state that does not offer some kind of a tax exemption for military retirement from income tax. So that argument doesn't necessarily hold water. These folks are folks who retire with their own health benefits, generally will have their children raised and not be a burden on the school systems, and have good values, good work ethic, drug-free, and absolutely some of the most enticing types of people we would like to move to our state to help with our economic development. So with that, we believe that this is the right bill at the right time, and we really think that it's important that you consider as a committee that this is not, like I said, some kind of a thank you for veterans. This is an economic development plan that will help bring to Montana valued, high-wage earning, high-educated soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, who can then benefit Montana tremendously. And with that, Madam Chair, I thank you for the opportunity to weigh in. I did include in my testimony yesterday an attachment with a PowerPoint briefing, and as Representative Fuller indicated in his introduction, slide 4 will show you the 7 states that currently do not offer a military retirement tax exemption, and the rest of the slide briefings are very self-explanatory but are very helpful. So with that, thank you much, Madam Chair, for your time.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hagan, for submitting your information online, and thank you again for your service. Ms. Murphy, our next proponent, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Next, we have Daniel Brooks.
Mr. Brooks, go ahead, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Dan Brooks, and I represent the Billings Chamber of Commerce. We encourage a do pass on House Bill 111. Our state continues to age. We're around the top 5 of states with people over the age of 65 ready to retire. And judging by the recent population projections and the revenue estimate adopted last November, our state will decline or remain stagnant in the 0 to 24 and 25 to 64 age ranges through 2023, unless we find a way to make our state more attractive to working age people. Veterans retiring from the military provide a significant pool of talent for our businesses and that our businesses are looking to employ. Local surveys in Billings and Yellowstone County of our businesses show the hardest skills to find in job candidates are critical thinking, problem solving, and decision-making skills. And retired veterans offer all 3. Retired veterans that aren't looking for a job are often looking to start their own small business. As a veteran myself, I can speak to the entrepreneurial spirit of many of the men and women I served with. They may have retired from the military, but many are in their early 40s, ready to start the next stage of their lives, a second career. However, our state faces difficulty competing with others that offer exemptions on retirement benefits. In fact, North Dakota, one of our regional competitors, recently passed a bipartisan bill to fully exempt military retirement benefits. Retiring servicemen and women are keenly aware of their benefits and how states tax or choose not to tax their hard-earned benefits. Let's give them a reason, besides the natural splendor God has blessed us with, to move to Montana, bringing the skills our businesses need with them. For that reason, we encourage a do pass on House Bill 111. Thank you to Representative Fuller for all of his work on this issue, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks, and again, thank you for your service to our country. I would like to take this opportunity to point out to members of the committee that we do have submitted testimony received for a number of the proponents and opponents. I do see here, and for future reference, as in the case with Mr. Daniel Brooks, he did submit his testimony online, and we'll just want to keep track of that in the future. So when individuals do have their testimony submitted, we would ask that they just give us a summary of what's already been submitted, because we have the opportunity to have already read it. Mr. Brooks, thank you, and I hope you stick around in case we have questions. Next up, Ms. Murphy, who else do we have for proponents?
Madam Chair, there are no more proponents.
Thank you. Now we'll be looking for opponents. I don't believe we have any in the hallway. How about online? Do we have any hands up for opponents?
Yes, Madam Chair, we have one hand raised, and that is Rose Bender.
Thank you. Ms. Bender, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Chair Beard and members of the committee. My name is Rose Bender, B-E-N-D-E-R, representing the Montana Budget and Policy Center. First, I'd just like to echo the appreciation and thanks to those here today who have served our country. We, Montana Budget and Policy Center, respectfully oppose House Bill 111. I'd like to tell you a moment, the current exemptions we have for retirees are those over 65 from taxation. We have an exemption of up to 100% of Social Security income, an exemption of over 4,000 of pension income, an extra personal exemption for those over 65, which reduces taxable income by $2,510. Up to $800 of interest is tax exempt for those over 65, and we have the elderly homeowner credit. Many of those exemptions are phased out at higher income levels. The fiscal note on this bill from last session indicates a cost of about $9.6 million a year. This would be very difficult, especially this session. The state budget situation is already looking quite tight, and our communities need continued state investment, especially now. Montana Budget and Policy Center is very interested in the tax incidence in Montana, or who is actually paying our state and local taxes. Montana does have a slightly regressive tax system at this point, which means that those living on lower incomes pay a higher share of their income in state and local taxes than wealthier Montanans. Bills like this that are not targeted to lower income households further this problem. If the legislature was to decide to exempt military pension from income tax, we would recommend the legislature consider limiting the exemption to households living on lower incomes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bender. Any further opponents?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Now we will move to questions from the committee members. Oh, informational witnesses. I forgot to include those. Do we have any informational witnesses? I don't believe we have any in the hall. Ms. Murphy, how about online? Any hands raised for that?
Yes, Madam Chair. Micah Christensen.
Thank you. Let's call Micah Christensen as an informational witness.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Micah Christensen. That's spelled M-I-C-A-H-C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N. And I'm representing the Department of Revenue today. I appreciate you letting me be here, and I'm available for any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Now we can take questions from the committee members. Do we have any Representative Trebus? Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a comment. I had this bill in 2017, and I was just confirming that the fiscal note at that point was $15 million or $16 million a year versus the 9.6. So it looks like we're improving. Anyway, just kind of was, I'm going to have to do a little research project and go back and see why the such a large discrepancy in the fiscal note number per year. Again, in 17, it was estimated to go 15 to 16 million. And apparently in 19, the fiscal note produced a $9.6 million a year cost to state revenue. So might be a little research project for all of us to look into why the big difference and what it might come out to this year.
Representative Trebus, would you like to gander a question to the bill sponsor?
Madam Chair, sponsor, if you would.
Madam Chair, Representative Trebus, thank you. You observed the fiscal statement was delivered to me while I was sitting here after making my presentation. And it's not nearly as bad as Ms. Bender made it out to be, and not significantly lower than the bill of did you say 17 or 15? I can't remember.
Madam Chair, Representative Fuller, 15 to 16.
Okay, million. Thank you, Madam Chair. Anyway, the discrepancy might be for the total of the biennium. The fiscal note that I was delivered is extensive. It's roughly 15 million for the biennium. 8.1 the first, 7.2 the second half. Regarding the fiscal note, and in light of these times and in statements by the governor, once I conclude my comments, this bill belongs to you. And so I want any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. I do have a couple of closing comments.
Thank you, Representative Fuller. Further questions, please. Representative Kearns.
Madam Chair, question for the sponsor, please.
Madam Chair, Representative Kearns.
Madam Chair, as you indicated that you are, after these closing comments, you're going to be giving us the bill, I just wanted to thank you for your tireless work on bringing this forward. I know time and time again, this bill has come before and takes a lot of work to continue to bring something. And so I just wanted to thank you and then also thank all those who returned from Vietnam and their service to our country. I think that is super important, and I figured I'd be on the record by saying that. So anyway, I forgot my question. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We have a question on Zoom. Representative Marler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a remote participant, I am not clear on where the fiscal notes are showing up. I looked in Microsoft Teams, and I might be missing it, and I have not seen the fiscal notes attached to an email. Maybe staff could advise about that.
Actually, Representative Marler, we're going to just turn that question over to the bill sponsor. He did, I believe, have it delivered while he was sitting in committee this morning, so I'll have him address that if you don't mind.
Okay. Madam Chair, Representative Marler, it's good to see you again, even if it is remotely, Representative Marler. She was my seatmate on this committee in last session. Yes, I was promised this fiscal note on no later than January 6th or January 7th, and I would have had time. Obviously, it just being delivered, I will write an objection to it because I believe that it's a static fiscal note, not a dynamic one. But anyway, you should be able to get it, or it should be emailed to you soon, I guess, if staff, will get with it. So I appreciate that. Appreciate the comment, Representative Marler. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Micah Christensen.
Mr. Christensen, are you there?
Madam Chair, Representative, I am here.
Thank you. Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Christensen, I would like to ask the question of a list of taxes that a military retiree would be paying to the state of Montana. Income tax is not the only tax that we pay. So is there a place that we could find that and what they do contribute to the state other than just income tax? And again, what are those taxes that they would contribute?
I would probably need a little time to put something like that together. Of course, the biggest is going to be income tax. I would need to give that some more thought, Representative Galloway, outside, or just off the top of my head, outside of income tax. I can't think of any right at the moment.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Would you be able to provide that information to our committee in the near future?
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that.
Thank you very much. Representative Knudsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I have a question for the sponsor, please.
Representative Fuller.
Madam Chair, Representative Knudsen.
Madam Chair, Representative Fuller, I'm going to ask you a question, and you may or may not know the answer completely. We've seen this bill previously. So I have a two-part question. We've seen this bill previously. I know in the last session it came through. And did this bill make it out of this committee, and was it passed on the floor? Do you remember, Representative Fuller?
Madam Chair, Representative Knutson, this bill in this form was presented before this committee, and because of the rather large fiscal note, with the assistance of my good friend from the Flathead, Representative Fern, it was amended to begin at 10% a year for the next 5 years. It was passed through the committee, it passed through appropriations, and it passed the floor, and it died in the Senate Budget Committee, I believe, by one vote.
Follow up.
An additional question, please, Madam Chair, for the sponsor again.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, Representative Fuller, regarding the fiscal notes, and this is going to be another history question. Has this bill come through as 100% previously rather than at a 50% rate?
Madam Chair, Representative Knudsen, yes, Representative Trebus's bill was 100%. That was why the huge fiscal note existed at that time, and this is roughly half that, but as I said, with being as written at the moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chair Fern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is for my our former colleague on tax, Representative Fuller.
Representative Fuller.
Madam Chair, Representative Fuller, as you alluded to last session, I amended this bill to spread out the impact, realizing that there is a high degree of indebtedness to folks who have served. And I think we're all interested in economic development, hoping this will be a positive thing. So my question to you is, if I do that again, the amendment, would you interpret that as a friendly amendment, and would you be supportive of that amendment?
Madam Chair, Representative Fern, absolutely. Doggone-lutely, in the words of my old drill sergeant. And I would be most friendly to that. And Madam Chair, if I may, I think I can answer Representative Sheldon Galloway's question a little bit in terms of other taxes paid by retired military service personnel.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Statistics show and research shows that retired military service personnel not only pay their Montana state income tax, but they are large contributors to gross receipts taxes and corporate income taxes, because the overwhelming majority of retired military, remember, all retired military personnel that serve 20 years or more have master's degrees when they retire. They come here, their health benefits are paid for. So they come here with those skills and start businesses that. And research from even California and New Mexico, which New Mexico demographically is very similar to Montana, illustrate that the overall revenue benefits of inviting each new retired military service personnel family into their state begins in the plus margin over the loss of revenue by not taxing that retirement pension within the third year. Usually a wash by the second year, by 24 months, and by the third year, their revenue that the state is getting is greater than the loss of revenue by the exemption of their military pension. That's research California and New Mexico is available. So I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Fuller. Representative Sheldon Galloway, follow-up question to that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question for the sponsor. What population number are we looking at in Montana, or maybe even a percentage of our population are retired military? I come from a city that has a lot because of the Malmstrom Air Force Base in our town. So what number are we looking at?
Okay. Madam Chair, Madam Representative Sheldon Galloway, thank you for asking that question. It's a very relevant question. remember, there's a big difference between active duty individuals and veterans. We have a large, significant population of veterans. According to the Department of VA statistics in 2018, which is the last data that I was able to receive, we have slightly more than 9,000 fully retired military pension service personnel in Montana. So I can't remember what percentage that is, but it's, what, 1%? Okay.
Do we have any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Fuller, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is a recognition of the sacrificial service to this nation and the great state of Montana by extraordinary people. And I want to also reiterate, Article 2, Section 35 of the Montana Constitution states, quote, "The people declare that Montana servicemen, servicewomen, and veterans may be given special consideration determined by the legislature." So we're not creating a special interest group here, nor are we creating a special entitlement. By getting retired military pensioners to retire to Montana, they will continue to serve in many positive ways. And by approving this bill, we will show our gratitude, but we will also, more importantly, provide a positive incentive for more of our veterans to return to Big Sky Country. I urge you to support this bill with a do pass and truly say, welcome home. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Fuller. This now closes the hearing on House Bill 111, and the committee will take it under consideration and schedule further action. Are we ready to hear the next bill on the schedule this morning, House Bill 125, which is providing exemption from income tax withholding, to be introduced by Representative Tribus? Representative Tribus, proceed with your introduction, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As stated, I am Representative Jeremy Tribus from House District 26, which is in Great Falls. This bill, as stated also, is House Bill 125, an act providing an exemption from income tax withholding. And so what the short summary version of this bill does is make it so that Montana income tax withholding allows for an exemption similar to the way the federal income tax withholding exemption works, which is basically, if you don't expect to pay any taxes at the end of the year when you file your taxes, or you expect a refund, or actually didn't have a tax liability in the prior year, you don't have to withhold from your paycheck. You don't have to have withholding from your paycheck through the year. So you still have to settle up, file your taxes, both federally and statewide for most of us. But the federal side allows an easier exemption from that withholding through the year. Montana is a bit more complicated. Montana allows six exemptions that are in their instructions here, but they usually don't apply to most residents or most of us here. Some of the exemptions that are allowed at the state level are if you are a spouse of a U.S. Armed Forces service member, a North Dakota resident with reciprocity, in interstate transportation, a Native American who is residing on a reservation governed by their tribe, and their wages are earned on that reservation, withholding from pensions, annuities, deferred compensation, and IRAs, and then finally, number six, withholding from non-residents and non-resident aliens, where they're specifically exempted, which I didn't find exactly where they're specifically exempted, but doesn't matter for the purposes of this conversation. So the federal instructions, similar to the states, but here's the difference. Exemption from withholding, the instructions there are you may claim exemption from withholding for 2021, it's coming here, if you meet both of the following conditions. You had no federal income tax liability in 2020, and you expect to have no federal income tax liability in 2021. And then further, a little further down in the instructions, if you claim exemption, you will have no income tax withheld from your paycheck and may owe taxes and penalties when you file your 2021 tax return. So it's just kind of a warning that you're having no withholding done. You're going to have to square up in April when you file. And so that's what this bill does, in short, is the meat of the bill is on page 3 between lines 9 and 14. And again, just kind of matches the wording of the federal side of things, which is that an employee may claim an exemption from withholding on a form prescribed by the department, that'd be the Department of Revenue, for the current tax year if the employee had a right to a refund of all state income tax withheld in the prior year because the employee had no tax liability. And so both of these have to be true for this to apply. The employee anticipates a refund of all state income tax withheld in the current tax year because the employee does not anticipate a tax liability. So that is the summary, kind of the idea of the bill, and it's not terribly complicated, so I don't think I have to explain too much more beyond that, but I'll be here for questions.
Thank you, Representative Tribus. I understand we have no proponents in the hallway. Do we have any on the Zoom call-in, Ms. Murphy?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, seeing no proponents, do we have opponents on the Zoom call?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Seeing none. Informational witnesses. Do we have any informational witnesses? I see we have a hand raised.
Yes, Madam Chair. David Mirren.
David, would you please introduce yourself, spell your name, and give us your address and your organization that you're representing?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is David Mirren, M-E-R-R-I-E-N. I am the pass-through unit manager at the Department of Revenue, and I'm an informational witness available for questions. Before, I have a technical comment on behalf of the department pertaining to the expression right to a refund. This is on page 3, line 11. This is a term that is inconsistent with the refund statute. Of course, a taxpayer is entitled to claim a refund, so the language could be replaced by the expression was entitled and received a refund. So that's the end of my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mirren. Now we're going to go to questions from the committee members. Do we have any questions? Vice Chair Fern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a question for Mr. Mirren.
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Fern.
Madam Chair, Mr. Mirren, does this bill have any fiscal impact on the way we do business with the Department of Revenue?
There would be, Madam Chair, Representative Fern, there would be possibly a delay in collection of some income tax because we would not withhold as much income tax. As far as compliance is concerned, for resident, it wouldn't be a problem. For non-resident, we would have to look at how we can ensure that non-resident employees still comply with income tax obligations in the state.
Follow up. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mirren, so would it be fair to say that if a fiscal note is developed for this bill, there would be no impact created by this as far as dollars to the general fund, meaning it costs more to enforce this or has an unknown consequence as far as dollars you may be using in the short term or something like that?
Madam Chair, Representative Firm, I do not have the fiscal note, so I cannot answer your question. So I don't really have an opinion with regard to whether or not there would be a significant impact, or if the delay in collection would represent a significant impact on any fiscal year.
Thank you, Mr. Marion. Do we have any further questions? Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe this would be for Mr. Marion.
Mr. Marion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Marion, do you foresee then that as an employer I would need a form to fill out when I am employing and one of my employees that would now make that declaration, so it's another paperwork process for me? Or how would this exemption be declared and protect me as an employer?
Madam Chair, Representative Sheldon Galloway, we already have a form called MW4 on which an employer must report exemptions or partial exemptions claimed by an employee. This exemption would be added to that form, so there would not be additional forms for that exemption. However, an employer would have to report that form more often than they do presently, because more exemption would be claimed.
Thank you. Further questions? I have a question for the sponsor, please. Representative Trebus.
Madam Chair.
What is the status of your requested fiscal note? I see it's logged on the tracking here. Do we have an update on that?
As far as I, Madam Chair, as far as I know, I do not have an update on that. I would, if I could, point back to 2017, had the same bill with the fiscal note, and it did do some cost shifting, or cash. The cash kind of shifted, so it might be less in one part of the fiscal year, but more in the next when everybody files their taxes.
Thank you. Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Another question for Mr. Marion.
Thank you. Mr. Marion?
One second, Madam Chair. Okay, Madam Chair, he should be available now.
Thank you very much, Ms. Murphy.
Yes, I'm available for question.
Okay. Mr. Marion, you have another question from Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Marion, so if I am an employee and I'm estimating my income from the year before, and somehow I got a significant bonus or something in my income, would there be a penalty then for me thinking that I would be at one income level and now I'm at a different income level the next year with this process? That's my question.
Okay. Madam Chair, Representative Sheldon Galloway, yes, I mean, potentially there could be interest on underpayment of estimated tax, because the payment of estimated tax is a requirement, and it's that is alleviated by wage withholding. So most people who pay wage withholding don't have to pay estimated tax in quarterly payments. If in the hypothesis that you would claim that exemption, but at the end of the year you would receive a large amount of money, bonus or otherwise, then estimated tax would be owed, and potentially, since you didn't make any estimated tax payment, some interest could be owed.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Seeing none. Representative Trebus, would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Pretty straightforward idea. And of course, you all know where to find me to discuss it more. Should you have other questions about how this works or what it would do? I'm elatedly expecting that fiscal note, so we can discuss that as well. I appreciate your time and listening. And like I said, if you have other questions, we can talk about those more as they come up. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tribus. This closes the hearing on House Bill 125, and the committee will consider taking further action when we get clarification on the status of the fiscal note. So with that, I believe we're going to take a 10-minute recess and come back here at 9:30 to continue. Thank you. Members of the House Taxation Committee, we will now be back in order. Okay, first we have a reminder with from Vice Chair Welch. Go ahead.
I will pass around the snack list again, and I know some people contributed last week when we sent this round, but if you didn't get a chance to and you're interested, please drop your money in the envelope. Be sure and mark that you did pay, and we'll pass this around. And for those of you that are virtually, if you want to participate virtually, we'll take your money as well. So thank you very much. I'll pass this around.
Mr. Vice Chair, I did see a couple of chuckles online. Representative Marler, I think she's going to be the first one to want to give you a personal mention as soon as she sees you in person. Okay, with that, we have a couple of minutes now before we have our introductions from the budget director and his staffer. So I just wanted to cover an item that we've been employing this past couple days on having a committee members only organizational agenda. That is for this week only, just so we can get through integrating our training and presentations, introductions in with the number of bills that we are going to be hearing and doing executive actions on Fridays. We will not be doing this agenda after this week, but I will let everyone know that you can find the number of bills and the dates scheduled on the legislative website. So feel free to check that periodically. Probably twice a day wouldn't hurt. If you have difficulty accessing the information, get with another member or a staffer of this committee to get the assistance that you need. Do we have any other questions or comments before we get underway with the budget director's office? Everyone's good? Friday, we will have a number of executive actions to partake, and we are looking for making sure that the amendments are filed and the fiscal notes are filed before we get to the final executive actions on those bills. We'll make the announcement at Thursday's meeting to confirm which executive actions we will be taking. And program update for tomorrow. We are going to start our tax committee meeting at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. tomorrow for Wednesday, I think it's the 13th of January. And then with that, we'll be expecting to move the TIF agenda item to 9:15. So I'll try to remember to remind everybody at the end of this morning's session. Do we have any other announcements or questions? Okay, we'll stand at ease for the next 5 minutes. Thank you. House Taxation Committee members, come to order, please. And we'd like to have, let's see, Ms. Megan Moore, would you please introduce our next guest?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Director Almy is here from the Office of Budget and Program Planning. I actually have yet to meet him myself, so welcome to the House Taxation Committee. And he has some staff with him as well that I assume he will introduce, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. Director Almy, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kurt Almy, K-U-R-T-A-L-M-E. I'm the budget director for the governor. Thank you for the opportunity to come and introduce ourselves to you this morning. We have a very talented and professional team here at Office of Budget and Program Planning, and I'd like to introduce those members who are on this call. Hopefully they can bring their picture up as I introduce them so you can put a name to a face as you run into them throughout the course of the session. So Ryan Evans, and at least his name is showing up on my screen. I hope it's showing up on yours, but Ryan, maybe you could just wave for those who may not be able to see you. There we go. Ryan is the assistant director who oversees revenue estimation by the office and all our bonding and the Department of Health and Human Services budget. In a moment, Madam Chair, he will give you an overview of the fiscal note process, if that would be helpful. Ralph Franklin, who I see there, who turned on his camera. Ralph is the lead revenue analyst who works primarily with income tax, corporate tax, property tax, and some other taxes. Do we have Nancy this morning? Nancy is staffing another subcommittee, so we may not have Nancy Hall, but she's the lead budget analyst who works with accommodations taxes and other revenue streams, as well as several budget areas, including Department of Health and Human Services, where I believe she's staffing the committee there this morning. And Chris Watson, Chris, there he is. Chris is in the bottom left-hand corner of my screen. I don't know if that's where he shows up for everyone else. Chris is a senior revenue analyst, and he works with our natural resource taxes. He works with interest and trust and other revenue streams. I believe that's who we have here this morning, and that's the bulk of the folks who work on the revenue side. So those are some of the names you'll see on fiscal notes and the people who will be doing the work, not only there, but also during the revenue estimation process. So we look forward to working with you all in several areas. Three of them that I'd like to highlight are, first of all, the revenue estimation process. You have HJ2 pending before you, which will, of course, set the revenue estimate for the state and the upward limit on spending. My office and the Office of Legislative Fiscal Division will continue to provide you all and the Senate Finance Committee updated information of anticipated tax collections, other revenue sources, et cetera, throughout the session. Second is fiscal notes. This office is required to provide them to you for every bill. And as I mentioned, Assistant Director Evans will give a little more explanation about the purposes and the process that we go through to get fiscal notes to you in a timely manner. Third is tax legislation. As I know several of you on the committee, and my background is that of a CPA and a tax lawyer, and I served as Director of Department of Revenue for Governor Judy Martz. So although Department of Revenue takes the lead, our staff assists in the development of some of that tax legislation, and I will be appearing before you from time to time to testify on the governor's tax bills. So thank you, Madam Chair, for inviting us to come and getting the chance to meet everyone today, even if it's only virtually, and to explain how we can assist you in the important work that you're doing. And with that, Madam Chair, it would be appropriate at this time, I'll turn it over to Assistant Director Evans to talk about the fiscal note process.
Thank you, Director Almy. And we're looking forward to working with you and keeping tabs on HJ2 going forward. Thank you. And Assistant Director Evans, go ahead and let us know what you're going to be coordinating for us.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just confirming, am I coming through loud and clear?
Yes, you are.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Ryan Evans. I am the Assistant Director in the Governor's Budget Office. Evans is spelled E-V-A-N-S. And before I get started, I just noticed Brian Hannon, who's on our staff as well, just joined as well. He's also a revenue analyst and budget analyst in our office. He deals with the consumption taxes, namely the alcohol and tobacco taxes, as well as insurance taxes. So again, thank you for the opportunity to chat with you today. You know, first, welcome back to everybody that we've had the opportunity to work with during the interim over this last couple of years, and certainly welcome to those that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. Hope we get a chance to talk and work a little bit during session and beyond here. Also, just really quickly, as Director Almy mentioned, I'd like to thank our staff, our revenue estimating staff. We've been lucky enough to have the core group of this staff intact for nearly 10 years now. So we've had a lot of consistency and continuity in our office, which, you know, we feel ultimately provides a better product to the governor and to you as well. So, you know, with a little bit of the time here, I was just going to talk a little bit about the fiscal note process and just go into that, and then certainly stand for any questions that we might have. You know, I think going back, when I first started in this office about 13 years ago, the budget director at the time explained fiscal notes to me as the greatest privilege that OBPP has. And, you know, thinking about it, I think he's probably right, or he probably was right. We do acknowledge they're used as the building blocks to create the state budget that you ultimately approve. And we acknowledge that responsibility and very much appreciate that trust that is continued to be placed in our office. So for fiscal notes, many of you know this process, some of you might not. It really is a six-day process, which doesn't leave a lot of time, many times. It starts with a request from either the House or Senate into our office via your staff. And then we get our process going. We send those requests out to the agencies. We have staff here that reads each and every bill, tries to digest it, and then determine what agencies might have an impact. Fiscal notes are shipped out to office to the agencies then, sometimes just to one agency. Sometimes it might be a fiscal note that touches each and every agency across state government. And so we determine those agencies and send them out. The agencies typically take about 3 to 4 days to compile with their staff that's dedicated many times specifically to fiscal note duties during the session. And then our office gets them sometime around day 4 or 5, sometimes later. And then it's on our analyst as they're assigned to compile each and every response from the agency, edit it, look at it, you know, judge it for content, and then compile it into one finished document, which is then ultimately produced. So for 6 days, you know, for some fiscal notes, that might be plenty of time. For other fiscal notes, that's quite a monumental task. You know, we take bills that sometimes are several hundred pages just to get through them in the 6 days, let alone actually produce a fiscal analysis on what it might contain, can be a little bit of a monumental task. But, you know, we stay to that the vast majority of the time. There are a few exceptions where the workload just might be too much or the content might be too dense, where we will request an extension on that. That is very rare. It's very few and far between. But there are some that we might communicate with the sponsor in your staff where we might need an extra day or two to really develop a finished product. So on amended fiscal notes, once amendments start going through the building, those amended fiscal notes will be due in 3 days. So that condenses and constrains the time even quicker. So particularly as we're up against a transmittal deadline, or certainly as we get court towards the end of session, sometimes that 3 days, while it might not be enough, it is the law, and we honor the law. And so we do our due diligence to get those back to you and in a timely manner so you can make informed decisions in the committee. You know, ultimately, the goal of the fiscal note is to provide an objective, reasonable estimate of impacts on state government finances. So that's both on the expenditure side and on the revenue side. I think it's important, particularly for this committee, HJ2, that's the biggest building block for us when we build revenue-based fiscal notes. The assumptions that the Revenue Interim Committee adopted in November, they set the baseline for fiscal notes for session, and they remain the baseline until HJ2 is either amended or changed in some other way. But there is great importance in HJ2. It not only sets the expectations for spending for the legislature, but it does also set expectations and the assumptions contained in our fiscal notes. And so a very important document. Our staff spends a lot of time digging down into the details of those assumptions and making sure that they're reflected in the fiscal notes appropriately. Fiscal notes in general, I like to think of it, it's not a one-way process. It's not just something we develop and then we put it out there. You know, certainly if you have questions on a fiscal note, whether it's your fiscal note or one that you might have in your committee, we're always willing to sit down. We can make our analysts available to discuss any questions or concerns you might have with a fiscal note. I'd say more times than not, just a simple conversation can many times get people on the same page. So there's at least understanding, if not agreement. That said, there is a process where if you still disagree with the analysis that comes out of our office, there is a sponsor rebuttal or sponsor fiscal note that can be created as well in conjunction with your staff. And so there is a process for that. That doesn't necessarily replace the fiscal note that comes out of our office, but what it does is it will be posted online next to the bill, and it can follow through the process so the sponsor or you as committee members can at least see the alternative view if there is in fact one. I would say most fiscal notes don't have sponsor rebuttals, but I think it's a good process that is available to the extent that there is a disagreement. Aside from that, that's kind of a high level overview. I certainly would be willing to answer any questions about the fiscal note process, how we go about it, how we build them. But aside from that, that's all I had for you today, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Assistant Director Evans. Would you like to have any of your other staff members here make any comments?
Madam Chair, no. We just wanted to introduce them and be sure everybody knew the areas that they work so that you know the face behind the names that appear on the documents that we provide and know who to talk to. And frankly, I'd encourage everyone to come talk to me if you have any thoughts about fiscal notes, about the revenue estimate, or tax issues. Encourage you to come, and I'll be sure that we get the right answers from the right people on our staff, and we'd welcome that. And I'd welcome anyone to stop by to visit. We're up on the second floor. We're between the center of the rotunda, of course, and the Secretary of State's office. So welcome a visit, and if we can drink through our masks, we could have a cup of coffee.
Thank you, Director Alme, Assistant Director Evans, Mrs. Franklin, Watson, and Hannon. Do be looking for us, because we will be developing quite frequent queries of your office. And thank you all for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Next up, we have any final closing announcements from the members? Questions or announcements? Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I miss the third name of his staff. I had the director, the assistant director, and then Ralph Franklin, and then whoever was the next person. I missed that name, and I can't see it up there.
Representative Sheldon Galloway, that would have been, he did introduce Nancy Hall. She was over-providing some information on in another department. So we thank them all for being here. And just to reiterate, for tomorrow's meeting, our start time is delayed until 9 a.m. We'll have some announcements, and then we will continue on with staffers providing us information about tax increment financing, likely from thanks in large part to Megan Moore, who's coordinating this, and Eric Dale from the Department of Revenue. So have your thinking caps on, and lots of questions will be generated during that presentation. And that is about the only thing that we have on the docket for tomorrow, and then we'll come back in on Thursday and hear more bills. So with that, I adjourn the meeting for House Taxation for this date, January 12th.
I'll get a hold of Megan about that $50. Yeah, I've forgotten about it. It's in my